I felt really, really uncomfortable right there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Not Your Father's Podcast. And, Dad, if you're listening, I ate some of the berries in the backyard. My face is starting to swell. I am your host, Logan Tracy. To my left, again, Jacob Masick.
Jacob Crohn's disease Masick to you.
To my right, Jackson Layer.
You already know, it's your boy.
All right, so, some more news to talk about today. The world of sports. It never stops.
Never.
A couple of Vikings fans here will be happy to know that Everson Griffin will be returning to action against the Saints.
After missing
5 games for...
Shout out Michael Waddell.
He's out.
Shout out Michael Waddell.
He joined the team, but he's out for
nope,
the season.
No, he's returning to action versus the Saints.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
Out.
Jackson.
I just saw the injury report today.
Jackson.
Everson Griffin is expected to be active and play on Sunday after
what?
Being away from the Minnesota Vikings for
well,
the past 5 weeks.
Well, now I know
weeks,
who is really a Vikings fan.
According
I'm
to
actually,
Vikings
not...
team website.
Also,
but you're right, it's pretty unreliable.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
J.D. Martinez starting in left field for the Red Sox tonight.
Automatic run for Boston now.
Andrew Benintendi sitting. And of course, the biggest news of the day... Hawks owner Tony Ressler, for 2 years, I was a deer in the headlights. Called himself a schmuck. But anyway, let's get back to the news that really matters. Everson Griffin returning to the Vikings. He's been gone the past 5 weeks. How does this impact the Vikings season so as it stands so far? Good? Bad? Answers?
All right, I'll start off really quick. Are you talking about just like with Everson Griffin being back? Like
with Everson Griffin being back, sure. How does that help the Vikings?
I think it helps the Vikings out tremendously. I mean, Everson Griffin is a very big locker room leader, as well as being a dominant defensive lineman on the field. I think he brings an element to the Vikings that the Vikings have desperately needed these past few weeks, especially since we've lost and we've lost. Two of our 3 games, I believe. And quite frankly, Everson Griffin was on a tear in his first 2 games that he was playing. He had about 3 sacks in 2 games. So I feel like that Everson Griffin will bring an immediate impact on the Vikings as we face the Saints, which we would desperately need this win to prove that we can still contend with top tier level teams, as the Saints have proven themselves to be very, 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 very good these past 7 weeks. So Everson Griffin definitely takes the Vikings to a whole new level this week during the Saints.
All right, anything to add there, Jacob?
I would agree with most points Jackson made, which is highly unlikely, and people thought there was a 1% chance that type of thing would happen, but you know. Jackson seems to be spot on today.
Appreciate that.
I'd also like to point out, though, add on to that, Danielle Hunter has been great ever since Griffin's absence. Obviously, they sent Brian Robeson packing before this year, so they didn't really have that much of a replacement. I wouldn't call Stephen Weatherly an amazing replacement for Everson Griffin. So Danielle Hunter's been carrying a lot of load. I think that Danielle Hunter will be set free in this game as the Saints will focus on Griffin coming back and being the key.
And along with Linval Joseph returning from injury as well.
Linval Joseph and Xavier Rhodes are both listed as questionable. Andrew Sendejo and Anthony Barr have both been ruled out for this game. On the offense, Riley Reiff and Dalvin Cook both also ruled out. So you're right, the Vikings have been dealing with some injury issues this year. I'm wondering, what role do you think Everson Griffin comes back in? He's been off for the past 5 weeks, obviously. So, it's not fair to assume that he'll come back into a full-time starter's role. So, how much do you think he'll end up truly playing in this game?
That's hard to say, because I'm not sure how mentally stable Everson Griffin... I mean, this is all up to Everson, I believe. I mean, the coaches...
Everson? It's all up to Everson?
Yeah.
The coaches are the ones who brought him back. Everson can't make his own decisions, clearly as told by him just going crazy in a hotel lounge.
Right, but...
I mean, no, it's the coaches. And it's I think it's going to be a lot of snaps.
He's been making it awfully clear that he was telling the Vikings, I'm not coming back until I feel ready. And he feels ready. If he's coming back for the Saints game, which is clearly a very emotional game for him, that to come back on a high note with, I think Everson will play a great amount of snaps on Sunday. But knowing Everson, I could see him taking a few of his regular routine snaps off, maybe like on the early downs, and he comes in on the third and fourth down plays that are really crucial. The second and third down plays, which are crucial. But, I agree with you, Jacob. I mean, the coaches will play him as much as they can. But to me, that's unreasonable to think with Everson Griffin's condition.
I'd say let's talk more about this game, because this game, Vikings-Saints Sunday Night Football, is really going to be an interesting matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these teams going into the season were both picked as Super Bowl contenders. They both have very good offenses, and while the Vikings' defense is much better, the Saints was very good last year. It has underperformed greatly this year. But I want to get your view on who you guys think has the edge in this game, the Vikings or the Saints. The Saints are 5-1, and I'd like to point out 3-0 on the road. They are going in to play this game in Minnesota. The Vikings are 4-2-1, 2-1 at home. I think, personally, it's going to be very good, but I'm going to pick New Orleans here.
I think that statistically that looks like a good guess. Not even a good guess. It's a prediction. I would say we should go with the... I mean, statistics say Saints, and that's because of Drew Brees being an absolute beast, and I think he deserves all the accolades and people saying Drew Brees should maybe even be MVP this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kamara's been up there, but Brees has been crazy with in terms of accuracy and stuff. And it's not like their offensive line is super amazing. Okay, he's out here making great throws and quick throws out of the pocket. I would say in this game, most people expect the Saints to win, but I think the Vikings will surprise you. Thielen, Diggs, and I think this game comes down to, can the Vikings establish the run game and get those play action plays where Thielen excels the most? And I think making those cornerbacks run after Thielen when he can be creative and get new routes, Lattimore and them won't be able to deal with that.
I think you're right. It's going to be a challenge for the Saints to stop that Minnesota offense. Obviously, as I said earlier, that defense has been underperforming for them this year. And they can't stop both Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen, of course, has been an absolute monster this year, has been on a tear for the Vikings, 67 receptions, 822 yards, only 5 touchdowns. I thought that would have been higher. But I don't know if you can go against Drew Brees. Drew Brees has been truly phenomenal this year, and on paper, I'd say that the Saints have better weapons surrounding him than they do the Vikings do Kirk Cousins. Obviously, with Dalvin Cook out, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, that's a two-headed monster out of the Saints' backfield. They have great receivers like Michael Thomas, that tight end. Drew Brees has always been very good at targeting his tight ends. And I just think at the end of the day, that offense is too high-powered for that Minnesota defense, especially with players like Everson Griffin just coming back, Andrew Sendejo out. I think it'll be close. Both teams are very good, but I believe the Saints will squeak it out in the end.
I would like to get a little bit of input here. Just making a point on New Orleans' season so far, let me just go through the schedule really quick. They have faced the Buccaneers and lost, and have gone on a 5-game tear with the beating the Browns, Falcons, Giants, Redskins, and Ravens. Now, would you say that any of those teams are considered as elite?
I don't say any of those teams is elite, but comparatively, the Minnesota Vikings this year have beaten the 49ers, tied the Packers, lost to the Bills and Rams, and then won their last 3 games against a struggling Eagles team, and then the Cardinals and the Jets.
Sure.
I don't think with the way teams have played this year, Minnesota hasn't beaten an elite team either.
That's fair. I'll take that. But if we're looking at statistics and on paper, Minnesota has a very electric offense right now. Our chemistry between Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Latavius Murray even, and Kirk Cousins, that has been propelling us to wins. Our defense has been struggling, I will admit that. I'll be the first to admit that. But as Jacob made a point in the last podcast, top 15 is pretty good, and the Vikings are well beyond that in success rate. So looking at paper, the New Orleans defense has a 30th pass defense, 30th ranked pass defense. I don't know who they are above, I don't know who they're behind, however, 30th is atrocious. And right now, the Minnesota passing game is electrifying. I can't think of another word to describe it. They're not going to be able to stop Adam Thielen, I don't think. I have to say, Adam Thielen's going to go off again with an under 100-yard game. It's going to be a close game. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout by any means necessary, but though I have tremendous respect for Drew Brees and what he's done in his career, I think that the Minnesota Vikings are going to use this a point to prove themselves, as they don't need luck to win a game. They have the star power and they have the potential to defeat the Saints at home, at our home, in US Bank Stadium, and win the game fair and square with the talent that we have.
What I would like to put out here, though, is the Saints have let up. They are the 28th ranked defense in terms of 294 yards per game let up, which is quite a lot, but I will put out there that they let up 400 yards in their first game. And that's a very bad start, and they've been trying to climb back that ever since. And their last couple games, they have let up one of them 200 yards and one of them just a little over. So I will put out there that they have been trending in the right direction. So I'm not going to discount anything. I know their first game was a 400-yard little Fitz magic thrown out there. You know the magic had to be kept alive. Buccaneers, why did you bench him? I'm distraught. Let's just continue onwards. New Orleans, I just like to say, I think their defense is better than people give them credit for.
You're right. That Saints defense does have a lot of talent on it from that front seven, with especially those DNs like Cameron Jordan, and then their defensive tackles, Sheldon Rankins, the others they have there. They are a good team, especially I'm a huge fan of Marshawn Lattimore, and I think Marcus Williams is very good. Though obviously, Saints and Vikings fans are both going to flash back to that NFC divisional round playoff game last year.
It was wonderful. I was in attendance at that game. Towels were thrown, shirts were thrown. Saints fans had internally died in that game. I saw hearts broken, hands upraised in that skull chant as Case Keenum led us to the line in that extra point. What a full stadium, and I just would like to shout out to all those fans who left early and gave up on us with 29 seconds left. Shout out to you. Also, I'd like to point out that the Saints also do not get a lot of sacks. Even though they have a highly touted line, they are 27th in the NFL in sacks right now with only 13 on the season, whereas the Vikings have 21 on the season, with Baltimore being number one with 27. So the Vikings aren't far behind in that category, and we didn't have Everson Griffin. So I would just like to point out in terms of that, but it also has to be noticed that their offense has done better than our offense has done, so it kind of evens out in that way. And I think it will just be who comes in with more heart into that game.
Definitely point, defensive, yeah.
Point taken. And a story that's probably going to be lost in the shuffle is it's Teddy Bridgewater's return. Teddy Bridgewater,
yes.
Backup quarterback for New Orleans Saints, will return to Minnesota for the first time since they let him go in free agency. I know you guys, obviously, since you're Minnesota fans, have opinions about Teddy Bridgewater. I just want to ask, a little more personal, because sports has been a big part of all of our lives. I think that's pretty clear. What is Teddy Bridgewater meant to you guys? Weird topic, I know, but...
Oh, no, for sure. This is definitely a touchy topic, at least for me. When I'm thinking about Teddy Bridgewater, I think of a man who never was given the chance to shine, truly, after his injury. I feel bad because he fought through injuries galore in his first two seasons as a Viking, including two concussions and then finally a torn ACL, which brought him to his demise as a Viking unfortunately. I really wanted him to be good, honestly, when I'm thinking about it. I really wanted him to be our franchise. He seemed very, very electric coming out of Louisville, being that rushing quarterback, being that that chuck down quarterback with Stephon Diggs being at the helm of that. I think we had a lot of places that we could have gone with Teddy Bridgewater. However, he was just not the right fit for us. Right now, we needed a quarterback who can throw deep and could come off the play action and be not afraid to throw it to our trusting receivers in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. And Teddy Bridgewater just was not utilizing the weapons that he had at his disposal to the extent that he could have. And it was really sad to see him go out of free agency, but you have to move on sometimes. I mean, sometimes quarterbacks don't pan out, and that's, we're in a league where you need to have a solid quarterback to win games, and you need to have a solid quarterback to win Super Bowls. And Teddy Bridgewater was just not trending in that direction for us. Even though that he could have come back, he was healthy, Case Keenum was definitely the better option to go with the rest of the season, and then Kirk Cousins is worlds ahead of Teddy Bridgewater.
I would contend that Kirk Cousins isn't worlds above Teddy Bridgewater. I would say that the Vikings did give up on Teddy. And you asked what he meant to me. I don't really was not that involved in much in Teddy's story yet. I would say in the same way that Delvin Cook said that, had the quote when he came out, said, "We were rivals all of college, and it was like a dream team matchup when you get up against that one guy that your team couldn't beat. Or beat, but you had a bunch of respect for him, and then you guys ended up on the same team." And Delvin said, "I always wanted to see what we could have done together." And that freak, just terrible injury. That actually, fun fact, usually the Vikings keep all practice and game film, but they wiped that from all their game film, so the Vikings no longer have that film, and it's nowhere in the world. That film, only Teddy Bridgewater has access to it. That's just a fun side fact. But Cook, I think that's the same way I would view it, just what potential they had. Mm-hmm. And I'm not completely sold on Kirk Cousins, even though he's made a lot of great throws. Still hasn't broken into the frozen hearts of a lot of Minnesotans.
Maybe not a fun fact, but a fact nonetheless. So going off that, do you think Teddy Bridgewater is a bust? And I think we all agree, actually. That's a dumb question. Teddy Bridgewater isn't a bust because he's proven to be talented, and his injuries are freakish in a sense where there's no real history there. They've just kind of happened. But do you think he's going to get his chance at some point? And whether that's in New Orleans or somewhere else, what do you think will happen there?
I think that he definitely has the potential of being a starting quarterback in a situation where they need one desperately.
I mean, just look at the Jaguars. Can we disagree?
Can we just acknowledge that for a minute? Yeah, for sure. I think the Saints should definitely take advantage of that desperation there. But neither here nor there. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, will be starting for a team in this nearby future, especially with how teams have been struggling quarterback-wise. Cardinals, Bills, even though they're probably not going to give up on their rookies yet.
Can we agree Kaepernick and Bridgewater should be starting QBs? I would consider them top 32 QBs.
I don't know if I'd say Kaepernick's a top 32 QB, but Kaepernick is more talented than
some of the quarterbacks
who are currently in the NFL. Right. I don't think that's debatable.
I don't think it will be with the Saints, though, with Teddy Bridgewater starting. I think it will be with a team that the Saints see, we have Bridgewater, we'll trade you some of the assets.
So do you think Bridgewater will be traded before this trade deadline?
Most likely not. I think they'll stick with him.
I think Bridgewater will be traded by this trade deadline.
Who do you think would go after him? Would it be a team with a young quarterback, maybe like Josh Allen, who has won games, but you could make the case isn't ready to start yet, and Buffalo's looking for a stopgap and a respectable quarterback? Or will it be a team that, like, maybe even Oakland goes for him, where Gruden thinks he could be his QB, or the Giants? Or is it going to be Jacksonville, a team that's trying to contend?
I would say it goes a lot. I would say Broncos are a possible one. I would say Paxton Lynch is not actually a reliable person.
Paxton Lynch is no longer with the Broncos.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's why he's no longer with the Broncos. I was just giving evidence for why the Broncos are terrible at choosing QBs.
Sure, Jacob.
And Case Keenum is not in a very good place. So I would say Broncos are an obvious trade destination. I would say the Giants are an obvious trade destination. And I would also say the Cowboys are kind of an underrated one. I know Prescott's been coming out, but why not provide a little competition? And I know they're dumb enough to mortgage some of their future for Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Also, the Texans could be somebody.
No.
But I think recently with Watson doing so well, but the team that I would say that would be benefit most from Teddy is the Miami Dolphins. I will put this out here. Ryan Tannehill is not an NFL starting quarterback. He's never had that caliber. And the Dolphins are dumb from trusting him. And obviously, they got Brock Osweiler starting right now. So I think even before this deadline, they should put in a trade for Teddy Bridgewater.
Brock Osweiler, shout out, from my home state of Montana. It's Brocktober right now. And I think that Miami is planning on waiting for a quarterback in a draft, whether it be this next year or this next draft or the year after that. I can see them, I don't know why, but in my head, they're a perfect definition for Tua, starting Alabama quarterback. Can't pronounce his last name. I apologize. But, I mean, that's just kind of a dream matchup where I'm like, oh, hey, that sounds kind of cool. So, to transition a little bit, but stay on topic, we're going to play a fun game I like to call, which NFL quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater better than? I've currently got up the 33 best quarterbacks in the league right now, based off QBR. These is obviously quarterbacks who have qualified, thrown enough passes, or played enough in a game this year. And I'm going to list them off, and you're going to tell me who you would rather have on your team, this quarterback or Teddy Bridgewater. We're going to start with the lowest ranked guy with a total QBR of 29.8. Would you rather, going forward, have Josh Allen or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Easily.
Please.
Potential. I know Josh Allen has looked good in some games. I know the Bills may be just on the edge of being the best team in the NFL, and I say that because they beat our Minnesota Vikings by a lot.
Oh my gosh.
They just are on the verge of being the best team in the NFL. Honestly, I would just say Josh Allen, a lot of potential, but I still got it. Teddy Two Gloves is, I think he is capable of being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
I don't have anything else to say except Teddy Bridgewater.
All right. I think we know the answer for this one. Tannehill or Bridgewater?
Bridgewater. Please.
Sam Darnold or Teddy Bridgewater?
Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Going forward?
Correct.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater.
You both think, okay, I would take Darnold. I think Darnold's got a higher ceiling.
Excuse me,
than
you're supposed to be the impartial host?
Yeah, Logan, this isn't your game.
Wait, this
as
wasn't
the impartial host, I would just like to say, Sam Darnold, if you would ever like to come on our show, we would take you.
Oh, but I would also like to point out, as not the impartial host, as a very partial person, that Teddy Bridgewater is only still 25 years old. I know he's had an ACL tear, but he's definitely, I mean, like, Tom Brady's like 40, let's be real here.
He's a player who's felt like he's been in the league for a good amount of time, even though he really hasn't.
Teddy.
Like, I don't know why, but it's felt to me like Ryan Tannehill has been in the league since I started following the league.
Drew,
but Ryan Tannehill
Drew Brees
is 30.
Drew Brees is 39 and still at a high level. Josh McCown is at 39 and he's not at a high level. So maybe Teddy's like a 26-year-old. Drew Brees gets traded or gets an elbow injury. Goes out, different team, and his elbow injury, just like Drew Brees had, is this ACL tear, and he's going to get out there at 26 years old and become one of those great quarterbacks, just like Drew Brees has been for the last 13 years.
That's what I'm hoping.
All right, moving on. We're going to do the next two, which are also the rest of the rookie quarterbacks. Josh Rosen or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Josh Rosen, please.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry. Okay, hold up. I know that you guys might not agree with this, but coming out of college, Josh Rosen has done everything right in my mind.
In your mind? Wow, that's impressive. I'm glad.
Hey, he's very humble.
Okay, that's going to help him win football games.
Well, listen, Josh Rosen has the potential to be a very good leader. The Cardinals all love him. Larry Fitzgerald has immense respect for the guy, even though he's a rookie.
And Larry Fitzgerald's been in the league for how many years now? Patrick Peterson.
Since it was formed.
Exactly. Patrick Peterson has gone on record to say multiple times that Josh Rosen is the quarterback that the Cardinals are going to want for the future. Teddy Bridgewater, he is a very, very good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. And he's better than a lot of the quarterbacks that Logan's going to say. However, when I'm looking at ceiling, Josh Rosen has a very high one. And I can't pass up on a guy who my gut instinct when I first saw him play was, holy crap, this guy is going to be something special.
Okay, I will give it to you. Rosen is just a great, great thrower. Insane release, very quick. The offensive talent around him is great. I wouldn't say he's very humble. I would say he conducts himself with a lot of arrogance. And especially if you watch a lot of his reputation, rumors have it he was a huge partier back in college, and that was a lot of red flag even coming out of the draft that a lot of evaluators had. And honestly, the Cardinals drafted him expecting his work habits and leadership to grow and him to grow into that type of role. But the thing is, a lot of the concerns for him are off the field. So I see what you're saying on that. Just the issue they have is when he gets under pressure, he tends to try to force throws, is what they're saying.
Sure.
On him. He has a great throwing motion, everything. If he's going to extend a play, he needs to get outside the pocket. Mm-hmm. And they say he struggles to get outside the pocket. He's a pocket-only passer.
Rosen's one of the biggest issues and red flags on Rosen when he was coming out is scouts didn't love his mobility. He's not a mobile quarterback. Of all the quarterbacks in this class, or the big four that came out, excluding Lamar, excuse me.
Whoa. Lamar's amazing.
He is great at running 6 yards for 3 plays.
He's an effortless thrower, and he's amazingly athletic.
Anyway, absurdly. Rosen was the least mobile of those 4 quarterbacks that went high in the draft. And that's definitely something that has come back to bite him a little bit this year, especially with how terrible that offensive line has been in Arizona. But I think moving on, if that line can get stable and give him time to throw, we're going to see how much talent he really has. Now, I don't know who I take, and I won't say, because apparently I'm supposed to be impartial, but let's just say that I have a lot of respect for both people. Moving on, Baker Mayfield or Teddy Bridgewater?
Let me tell you, Baker Mayfield, great leader, plays with the chip on his shoulder, he's extremely accurate, and just great statistics coming out of college. The weaknesses they had on him were his, like, arrest, and then... don't watch the video, kids, but versus Kansas, he made some interesting gestures toward their sideline after they didn't shake his hand, which honestly I think is just a sign of competitive fire, and he just needs to mature. It's the same thing with Rosen. You expect him to mature when he gets in the league. I believe Baker Mayfield is going to finish his career as a top 30 quarterback in NFL history.
Do you think, a little off topic, but do you think people view Mayfield as a competitor? But if Rosen did the same things that Mayfield did, do you think they'd still view that as character issues? Because Rosen, one of the big knocks on him coming out is that he was outspoken about other things besides football. Rosen's a good thinker. He's a smart kid. And he's and even at UCLA, he talked about paying college athletes and things like that.
Yeah,
and that's not traditionally what your star college players talk about. Do you think that if he did that, but also had the Baker Mayfield arrest, the Kansas game, planting the flag in the middle of the field at Ohio State, do you think if Rosen does all that, Rosen falls even farther?
I think yes.
Yeah, I think he would.
And I would say, I think Jackson would agree with me that it's because Baker Mayfield had the stats and he just has a different persona about him, and the people around him describe him differently. And the people around Rosen, some of the people, including, I believe, the former coach of his team, were critical a little bit of him. And that's big for scouts. And I believe they overreacted to that. And I believe I would have put it, Baker Mayfield is the number one prospect in the draft. And then Rosen, for me, was number two in the draft.
I absolutely agree with Jacob. For sure.
All right, moving on.
Love you, Jackson.
You're very welcome.
A few older quarterbacks, some people we've seen in the league a couple years before him, so we're going to go a little more rapid fire as our listeners, all three of them, will know more about...
Yes, we gained one.
We'll know more about these quarterbacks. They've seen them play. Mm-hmm. So starting at 28, Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Case Bridgewater.
Please explain yourself.
Sorry. Case Keenum has experience right now.
Cool.
And right now, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, he is coming
Bridgewater
off
of has experience.
Team. And Teddy Bridgewater hasn't proven to
himself. He's been in the playoffs. He led us to the one of the divisional games.
Teddy Bridgewater did?
Yeah.
But Case Keenum came out of nowhere and led us to the championship.
Not nowhere.
NFC championship. And he came out of Houston.
And we lost that game.
But I'm just saying, Case Keenum has the experience. We've seen what he can do.
Yeah, but that's not a valid argument.
No, he's in the ideal condition. Case Keenum can prosper. And Teddy Bridgewater had all the weapons that Case Keenum had. Maybe even more with Adrian Peterson for a little bit.
Let me just say, I need to keep this civil, but Case Keenum didn't come out of nowhere. Plus, saying experience is a factor is not a valid argument because Teddy's been in the league for 4 to 5 years.
Has he been in an NFC championship? Has he led the Vikings
yes,
to a third
year
record?
Yes, but he's been in two playoff games.
He has not.
He's been in two playoff games.
Teddy Bridgewater has not proven
Teddy
himself
Bridgewater
to be
led us to a great record and put us in the playoffs.
But hey, remember when I said rapid fire? I was kind of wrong.
Sorry.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Were wrong because...
That's my bad looking.
I didn't expect
point.
This one to be as contentious.
It was easily Teddy Bridgewater.
That surprised me. All right.
Wow.
27, Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Let me just ask a clarifying question quick. Are we picking a quarterback to put on our team?
If you're building a team. Who is your quarterback?
Oh, it was easily Teddy Bridgewater in the last one.
Can you shut your mouth?
I do Teddy Bridgewater on this one, too. I agree with Jackson.
Yes.
All right. Eli Manning or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater.
That hurts my heart. not because I think I would take, right now, I would take Teddy over Eli. It's just sad to see how Eli has digressed, and I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for it, but
yeah.
I think all of us can agree that you never want to see
never.
A player end their career like this,
mm-hmm.
and it's just,
especially
it's sad.
A player that's won 2 Super Bowls against amazing teams.
He should have retired.
He should have.
Yep.
But neither here nor there.
Now he's going to the Jaguars.
I think I know the answer to this. CJ Beathard or Teddy Bridgewater?
CJ... Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, my gosh.
To go on that, he won't qualify in this list, but would you take Jimmy Garoppolo or Teddy Bridgewater?
Jimmy Garoppolo. Jackson, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need CPR? I'm certified.
Shoot.
He doesn't want me to do CPR.
Garoppolo.
Yes. I would just say, honestly, at this point, Garoppolo has proven a lot more.
Well,
exactly the
Teddy has played.
Case Keenum.
Teddy
no,
has
that's
played
experience.
More, Teddy has played more games than Jimmy Garoppolo.
He has.
Blake Bortles or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater. Blake Bortles is what you would get if you had a stray dog, picked him off the street, and asked him to play quarterback for your team.
Wow, that's... Disagree with that, but Teddy Bridgewater.
Which would be extremely mean, so they're being mean to Blake Bortles by keeping him as a starting quarterback.
I mean, that's fair. Blake Bortles has taken a team to an AFC championship.
I mean, sorry. I'm sorry, clarify that. Their defense took them to the AFC championship.
Blake Bortles was the starting quarterback on an NFL team that made it to the AFC championship.
Okay, all right. All right.
Shout out UCF. All right. Alex Smith or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Alex Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
You can take a game manager.
He's very, very underrated.
Like Case Keenum.
You be quiet about that. We are done with him.
Skull Broncos.
22. Russell Wilson or Teddy Bridgewater?
Russell Wilson.
I think that was
Wilson's been
one.
Running for his life and still putting up good statistics. What? Imagine if he had, like, a good offensive line anywhere. Just 3 good offensive linemen. He doesn't have anyone.
Imagine if he played
sense.
Baseball. That'd be weird, too. Dak Prescott or Teddy Bridgewater?
That is extremely hard one.
That is very hard.
I would just, like, if anyone's listening to this, which I know there's 3 of you at this point, if there's more of you, and we'll probably expand this, I would like you guys to send in your answer to this question. This will be our question of the week right here. Dak Prescott or Teddy Bridgewater if you're starting a team? Jackson, which one would you choose?
I'm going Dak.
You're going with Dak, huh?
Yeah.
I would go with Dak also, and it's a very hard question at this
yeah.
point, but I would honestly say Dak. I think Dak is actually a great quarterback. I think he was hampered this season as having his number one wide receiver be Cole Beasley and his number two Michael Gallup. I do not think that's a great wide receiving core. And their offensive line struggled, and teams knew that they were going to run the ball, so he had no basis for his run game, and that forced him to struggle in the passing game.
You're right. I think that receiver committee approach that the Cowboys came into the season with has proven that it will not work, hence the trade for Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. And it's very close. It is very close between the two.
Of course.
Moving on, I think maybe another close one. Marcus Mariota or Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't even think this is close.
I like Mariota.
I do not think this is close, and Teddy Bridgewater. Easily Bridgewater on this one. Jackson, I want to keep this civil, so
yep.
what would you like to say?
No, it's rapid fire.
It seems like you are picking apples or oranges here, and I am choosing Mandarin oranges. So here we go. They're clearly superior to apples and oranges. Mandarin oranges are the best fruit, and that is why Teddy Bridgewater is the best choice here.
That's what you're going to get when you come here crushing twofold coverage. Jackson, I do want to hear you explain yourself,
okay.
Because
okay.
Mariota has started and you can say he's done well and has potential, but I want to know why you take him over Bridgewater.
Marcus Mariota, while in Tennessee, has he had ever, I'm actually very curious, has he ever had an amazing wide receiver, running back, awesome defense duo? I mean, a trio.
Who?
Marcus Mariota. Like, has he ever had, like, that go-to wide receiver?
Yes.
Has he? Who?
Easy.
Rashad Matthews.
Correct.
Exactly.
Rashad Matthews was great his first year.
Oh my gosh.
A great possession and just overall good wide receiver.
I think Eric Decker played there for a year.
Yeah, he did.
Marcus Mariota.
Tajay Sharpe is a good wide receiver.
You're not helping your case at all.
I am.
Wasn't Kendall Hunter there for a year?
Kendall Wright?
Kendall Wright, excuse me.
They have Corey Davis.
Justin
emerged.
Anyway, I'm talking about when you're looking at the weapons that Marcus Mariota has in his arsenal, they are not as much as, I just guess his potential could be so much more if he had an Adam Thielen on his team or an Antonio Brown on his team. If they had one guy that he could depend on, one guy. I think that Marcus Mariota has an incredible arm. He has the mobility that a quarterback needs if he gets under duress. He can get out. He has proven.
I think at this point that we're, right now we're choosing between two people who, like, there's not, I don't think there's as much with Mariota just because of the injuries and with the bad team he's been around to judge him based on that.
Mariota?
Yes. I don't think we've seen his full potential.
Exactly.
So I don't think we should be judging him right now because he's always been injured all the time.
But Marcus
because
Mariota,
of the bad offensive
even with
line.
His very injury prone.
So I would say at this point I would take Bridgewater based on just seeing them and passing the eye test.
But Bridgewater hasn't done much either.
No, Bridgewater had an amazing season.
So has Marcus Mariota. He led his Titans to the playoffs.
Wonderful.
Last year.
An 8-8 record. Woo!
So you would say Bridgewater.
The playoffs. Yeah. 8-8 record. Teddy
Marcus
Bridgewater
Mariota
did
win a playoff game.
He did. Same with Teddy Bridgewater.
I think he ran for 2 touchdowns. As we get higher, I'm going to skip a few quarterbacks that I think we can all agree are consensus. Elite quarterbacks who are definitely better than...
Yeah. Just hit me. All
right.
Yep, rapid fire.
So we're going to skip Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. I have to ask them all.
No, just go rapid fire, bro.
We're going to skip Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
Okay.
Those three, for sure.
I would take Teddy Bridgewater over Tom Brady if I was starting to. Right now. I would. I don't think Brady's going to survive that long.
Who's a more talented quarterback? Teddy
oh
Bridgewater.
No, that's not our question. You said if I'm starting a team.
Oh,
if I'm starting a new team, who do I take? Do I take the 40-year-old guy who's going to last 2 years?
Or
3 years?
Or the young man that hasn't proven himself at all.
Yes, I would take the guy with the most potential.
Oh, my.
Jackson, you would take the guy who's going to take
fire,
2 years.
Rapid fire,
combat this. You can't just say my points are wrong.
It's who's a better quarterback. You're starting a team. You're picking the best quarterback. I think we can
I'm picking the best quarterback combined with the potential and overall success that I think they will have.
All right.
Brady's past his prime.
Teddy Bridgewater's going to beat Brady in his...
No,
that's
Teddy
insane.
Bridgewater will be the best.
You are insane.
Okay, Jackson.
Okay, sorry.
I am saying Teddy Bridgewater will be the best quarterback for my team for the next 5 years.
He's no Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's not going to be with my team for the next 5 years.
Tom Brady kisses his son on the mouth. Moving on.
Yes, he's in danger
abuse. Talking about elite quarterbacks, Joe Flacco. Or Teddy Bridgewater?
I'm Everyone go check out that, what is that called? The mini TV show they do for Bleacher Report. Elite quarterbacks, look it up on YouTube. Elite quarterbacks, Bleacher Report.
Gridiron Heights is what you're thinking of.
Gridiron Heights, thank you.
Joe Flacco is full of elite sauce. So are you picking Flacco over Teddy then?
I am picking Teddy. I think Lamar Jackson should start over Flacco in Baltimore. He's a better option and will give their offense a multi-dimensional look that will force the defenses to think more.
I think Teddy Bridgewater.
All right. Matthew Stafford or Teddy Bridgewater?
Matthew Stafford.
It depends on how... I have real respect for Matthew Stafford after that game where he dislocated his shoulder and came back in and threw that last throw and it was out. He's only 30 years old, so I take Matthew Stafford.
Thank
you. Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater?
Because you took him.
Cam Newton.
I don't think this one is hard. Cam Newton has been an MVP and he's 29 years old, so Cam Newton.
Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater?
How old is Andy Dalton?
Hard question. He's 30. I would say this is actually a tough one. I'm only going to say that because Dalton has had those weapons, that great offensive arsenal for a while. Their offensive line has been incredibly underrated. They've had a good offensive line for at least 2 years of his career, and these last two have been pretty good. And with those wide receivers, I feel as if their team should be better. Like, they've underperformed, I feel like. I feel like they should be higher.
The Bengals are the walking mediocrity of the NFL in some ways.
Very true. I agree
with that. Like, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, you're like, oh, hey, that's a team that knows how to lose a wild card game. But, so I think, are we both picking Andy Dalton here?
I am picking... This is a very tough one. Also, for our viewers, if you want to send in your choice on this one, Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater, I am going to go with Teddy.
All right. Just a reminder, you should probably let our mom... We should all let our moms know who these people are so they can send in. Carson Wentz, Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think that's hard. North Dakota's own. I think we all three would pick him.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson?
What?
Yes, I would pick Carson Wentz.
Oh, okay, good. Gosh. I thought you were going to think about that for a second. Deshaun Watson or Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, my.
This is not tough at all. It's Deshaun Watson. Easily, in a heartbeat, Deshaun Watson.
Andrew Luck or Teddy Bridgewater?
Andrew Luck.
Deshaun Watson's only 23 years old, too.
But I didn't ask you about him, Ash. That's a great one.
I would go with Teddy Bridgewater.
Over Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck is 29 years old. I would go with Teddy Bridgewater over Andrew Luck.
That's 1 year younger than Andy Dalton. And
you picked Andy Dalton over...
No, I picked Teddy Bridgewater over Andy Dalton.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I picked Teddy Bridgewater.
So you tell me you picked Teddy Bridgewater over...
Yes, I think Andrew Luck's shoulder will never heal.
I think Andrew Luck's shoulder healed.
No, I don't think it's fully healed.
All right. We'll get a doctor on next show to check. Jameis Winston, surprisingly 11th in total QBR here, but Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater?
Jameis Winston.
Jacob.
Rapid fire, Jacob.
Jameis Winston easily. I would just like to call this back to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck opted out of his second surgery he was supposed to have for his shoulder, so he will have to have that after his career. So I would say, yes, his shoulder is still slightly injured.
All right. Mitchell Trubisky.
Easy.
Trubisky.
Trubisky?
He's been proving an adversity that he is a very solid quarterback.
Wow, philosophical argument. I love that, Jackson. I could give you a hug right now.
Please don't. We're all in a small room together. Kirk Cousins or Teddy Bridgewater?
Kirk.
It's Kirk Cousins. I haven't seen his play ability, but the throws Kirk Cousins makes sometimes are just, like, perfect.
Much deeper than Teddy Bridgewater ever threw.
He has gone much deeper than Teddy Bridgewater ever went.
That's what I just said.
You like that. All right. Ben Roethlisberger or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Over Big Ben Roethlisberger?
Yep.
All right.
Big Ben.
He's 36 years old, about to turn 37. I would take Teddy if I was talking about a best quarterback for a new team I was forming. Teddy's easy, most
potential.
I'm still
going Ben Roethlisberger. I can get rookies that can come in and they can train off of back.
I don't want a slow quarterback who can't get out of the pocket.
I want a quarterback that can throw down the field.
Good, Teddy Ken.
Speaking of slow quarterbacks who aren't great at getting out of the pocket, Matt Ryan or Teddy Bridgewater?
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, no question.
Matty Ice.
What a great arm.
All right. Would you take Matt Ryan up 27-3 or Teddy Bridgewater?
I would take Matt Ryan.
But would you take...
Wow, Jackson, hilarious. Who would you like to choose? Come on, Jackson, bring it.
Matt Ryan, please.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Quiet up over there.
I'm going to skip number 6, which is Ryan Fitzmagic.
Oh, I would take Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You liar. And I'm going to skip Tom Brady as well, because I think we all know the answer, because we already talked about it. Jared Goff, I think we're getting to the point we don't have to discuss. Your top four here from 4-1. With total QBR listed on ESPN.com is Jared Goff, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think you can make the case that Teddy Bridgewater. I would take Jared Goff. Philip Rivers would be a lot closer conversation. As he is 36 years old. Who are the other two?
Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. It's who's the better player?
Easily them. I would say Philip Rivers. So those four over Teddy.
Yep.
I think that was pretty easy. So. Essentially, what we've found is we rank Teddy as probably between...
Top 20.
Yeah, top 20 quarterback if he was playing. That's very strange for a quarterback who hasn't played very much.
I think,
that we'd rate him that high. Though, admittedly, we did the same to Garoppolo based off a smaller size of games that he played. But the other thing from looking at this list that I didn't realize is... Some of those QBRs are so low. Like, Baker Mayfield, he's gotten a lot of praise for how he's played, but his quarterback rating, he's 29th in the league.
Oof.
Russell Wilson down at 22, Rodgers down at 19. I found that fairly surprising.
I would also like to point out, I know we talked about this a little bit, about Martinez starting tonight for the MLB game, and I know you just expressed a great point. We can just jump back to that quick, but I just saw that they're benching Andrew Benintendi in favor of him. Which I don't think is a great decision, given his defensive prowess and how he's performed hitting.
I do like Andrew Benintendi, and I find the decision to start Martinez, especially with that injury concern in an outfield position, kind of odd. But I, at this point, with how I've seen the season go, I trust Alex Cora's judgment, and if he thinks that starting Martinez in left over Benintendi is the best decision for tonight, I'm going to take him at it.
Enough said.
I think we should move on to play our game of the week this week.
All right, so...
So we'll pit Logan versus Jackson this time. We're going to do some sports trivia.
Ooh.
So I would like you to answer, what is the punishment?
All right, why are you making me decide this?
I will decide the punishment then.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, the punishment will be... you must sing a song live on the podcast at least 30 seconds long.
This podcast.
That's going to be horrible.
And you can be filmed by the rest of the people in this podcast room. You must sing a song of the other person's choosing in this room.
Am I allowed to look up the lyrics? Or
yes,
I don't
you may
know
look
them,
at the
I
lyrics.
Have to do a little
you will have the music and the lyrics in play. All right,
I will have the music and
Let's
the lyrics. All right, that's a good one.
Let's
okay.
It.
It will be the first person to answer.
How many questions?
There's about 20.
Ooh.
As soon as I finish the last word of the question, first person to answer. Who is the only American football team to go the whole season undefeated, including the Super Bowl?
Miami Dolphins.
Logan.
Bingo!
Bonus point. What year was that?
1970, a long time ago.
That's very close. Jackson?
1974.
Oh, missed it. How many NBA championships did Michael Jordan win with the Chicago Bulls?
Six.
Two for Logan.
This is not entertaining for the viewers.
Which is the only team to play in every soccer World Cup tournament?
Brazil.
Really?
Yeah.
Brazil? Holy crap.
I knew it was one of the South American ones.
Sure.
Our last question.
Oh, so I won.
As of December 2016, which NFL team has won the most Super Bowls?
Patriots.
No. It is not the Patriots.
Keep going.
Is the Cowboys? The Steelers?
Correct.
Yeah.
Steelers. Jackson will have to sing a song of Logan's choosing live.
I answered all 20 of those questions correctly.
That was all 20 questions. If you guys missed some, the audio must have skipped out a little bit. We definitely have 20 questions.
All right. Before Jackson picks it, while we pick that song, we talked before the show, and we each pulled up either a fact about a player or a story recently that we found kind of interesting.
Yes.
So we're going to go around, and we're each going to share that. So I'm going to start with our gracious loser, Jackson. Jackson, would you like to share a sports story or headline that made you laugh?
I would love to, guys. And I love
this. But he's not going to this time.
Next time podcast. No, for real, though. There was discussion on Jimmy Kimmel show of Kobe Bryant being on. Jimmy Kimmel asked how Kobe thought of the Lakers in these first four games of the season, them going 0-4. And Kobe Bryant was saying, if they lose a fifth one, I'll consider coming back. And then the next day, LeBron James proceeds to go for his first triple-double as a Laker and wins the Lakers the first game of their season. So I just thought that was very amusing, how LeBron was like, you know what, I'm just going to take this to my own hands and get this going for the Lakers so like Kobe doesn't have to come back out of retirement. So.
All right, so I'll go next, and I know since you're both Minnesota fans that you've lived through some serious sports trauma with the Vikings choking everything in sight and
yes.
The Timberwolves constantly being a rebuilding team and the Twins just being okay. So, as Minnesota Timberwolves fans, do you remember a certain player by the name of Latrell Sprewell?
Oh, I am a big Latrell Sprewell fan, baby. He needs millions of dollars to feed his family.
That's funny, because I was just going to talk about that.
Oh.
Did you know that former Timberwolf Latrell Sprewell once turned down a 3-year, $21 million contract offer from the Timberwolves because he said that the salary wouldn't be enough to feed his family?
Really? I did not know that.
But do you know what he's done since refusing that contract?
No.
He's grounded a $1 million yacht, had two homes that he bought foreclosed, and that family that, you know, he wouldn't have enough to feed. Well, he's not allowed to see his kids anymore. So, God, he just really failed. And additional fun fact, did you know that Morris Claiborne, who I believe currently plays for the New York Jets,
correct,
scored a 4 out of 50 on his Wonderlic test? I think we all know what a Wonderlic test in here is. It's given to players at the NFL
yeah.
Combine so they can see their level of intelligence with history of the NFL, football knowledge, things like that. Problem solving, excuse me. He said he blew off the test because it wasn't about football. But did you know that his test score is actually 2 points lower than Frank Gore's? Frank Gore got a 6, and we thought that was terrible. And I'm sorry, are you okay over there?
All right, that is a perfect time to introduce our segment about dumb people, especially dumb criminals. So this is Crohn's disease.
For those of
okay.
you who don't know, Jacob Masick has Crohn's disease.
He does not let us live that down.
Okay, recently, in Fresno, California, I will leave out this man's name because this story is so dumb. He saw spiders in his house while living in his parents' house. He took out a blowtorch and used it to kill the spiders and proceeded to set his parents' home on fire after he used the blowtorch to kill black widow spiders. Yes, that is correct. Thankfully, no one was injured, but the house was completely burned down.
You know, I love how that story had nothing to do with sports.
I just love
and
that.
Then, because this is a break from sports, this is about Crohn's disease. Okay, well, let's talk about this. A London High Court judge banned a man from having sex because of his low IQ rating.
Whoa, 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
One
this
second.
Is a child-friendly.
One.
You can do them later. Stop, stop. This is terrible.
Six,
this is terrible.
This is horrible. This is
okay.
Terrible.
Okay. 41-year man, known only as Alan, had been in a relationship with a man. And
moving on. All right.
And told officials he wanted it to continue, but his local council decided his vigorous sex drive was inappropriate and that with an IQ of 40. An IQ of 48. I'm 48 and a moderate learning disability. He did not understand what he was doing. As per the judge order.
Do you need me to finish for you? Because you're dying over there.
The man was subjected to close supervision by the local authority that provides his accommodation in order to ensure that he does not do anything that he does not know.
Wait, wait. So somebody had to watch this man have intercourse so they could determine whether he was doing it right.
Correct. And then he concluded that Alan does not have the capacity to consent and to engage in sexual relations.
Okay. All right. I think we're almost out of time because
and we have now all reached moderate mental retardation.
That's not something you joke about. But here is something you joke about. Jackson's singing ability.
Oh,
because
oh, boy.
I have selected a song.
Oh, boy.
And you know, I don't know if I need to play the music with it because it's pretty famous. But you know a guy named Rick Astley?
Yes.
You know that one song he sings?
That one song that everyone plays when you want to get Rickrolled?
Yeah, you know that song.
I know that song.
Well, I don't want you to sing that one. I want you to sing "Take on Me" by Aha.
Great, awesome.
But I
thanks,
want you
guys.
To do the part where you hit the high notes.
Guys, quick prayer for Jackson.
No, you guys, I'm gonna rock this. I am going to rock this, guys. Join the know.
All right, Jackson, go ahead.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Yes, right now.
What?
Do you need the lyrics? I can get
yeah.
up on my
oh,
phone.
Oh, guys, we need to give them the lyrics. In the
I
meantime,
need, I need the karaoke.
Everybody, bro. Let's listen to "My Heart Will Go On" by Celine Dion. In honor of Jackson's memory as a human person with human dignity, and in honor of Alan's dignity as a human person as he no longer can engage in sexual relations because of his low IQ and mental retardation. Alan, we're all praying for you. And we're also praying for the person who had to watch him.
In my dreams, I see you. I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on. Far across the distance and spaces between us.
Not me,
have come to show
Okay, everybody, I would just like to put it out here. This is Jackson's premiere singing karaoke. One sec, I will get the music up so you guys can get the full experience here.
Fun fact, Jackson is in a musical play.
I am.
He oh. sings.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, do you want some free publicity for your musical?
Sure. Well, I'm doing a performance with the musical theater troupe. And at University of Mary, we do this thing where we pick songs from Broadway musicals and we sing them. And this year's theme is Gender Bend, which means that we switch the roles of men and women.
Can
so
you
now
give yourself a
20-pound
raise?
Thank you, Ad. And I am being accompanied with a few other people. And
I would just like to put it out there, we are not sponsored by Kevin Kramer. All right, continue, anyways.
No, but yeah, it's going to be really fun, and I look forward to it. I hope you guys all come and see it.
Okay.
I have
here we
something
go.
That night.
This is not it.
You picked the wrong song.
You're kidding me, Jacob.
Yeah, it's "Take on Me" by Aha.
No, it's not.
You
it's the acoustic version. You.
You are not picking.
I don't know what I'm to say, I'll say it.
Wow, I'm letting you know, Jackson is really good.
Guys, he's singing now.
Another day to find you shine away.
Sing it, Jacob.
For all our viewers out there, I just hit my head.
This is the poor.